cinema loves upward mobility.
A matchbox of horror. A fence. A three-year chain link.
How Hollywood stokes America's middle-class aspirations, that and the latest from the GOP convention, next time on All Things Considered from NPR News.
Tonight on 360 North, watch the BBC World News at 7 and Alaska Weather at 7:30. At 8, travel some of the country's most spectacular coastal waters with Alaska's Marine Highway. At 9, George Sundborg recalls his career in journalism and territorial politics in Alaska statehood pioneers in their own words. Tonight on 360 North and 360north.org. Follow 360 North on Facebook and Twitter.
Good afternoon. It's time for a Juno Afternoon every Wednesday, the 20th of July, the year 2016. I'm Jeff Rand. I'll be your host for today. Today we'll talk with guitarist Christy Lene performing Sunday at the Rockwell at the Southeast Alaska State Fair in Haines. Amy Skilbred from the Juno Community Foundation, Marianne Mills from Southeast Senior Services will be here to highlight funding services for seniors. We'll also get a preview of upcoming gospel choir performances. That Writer's Almanac, Burnout Music Award today on the Juno Afternoon. Well, the forecast for today, scattered rain showers with high temperatures in the mid-60s. Forecast for tonight, scattered rain showers with low temperatures in the mid-50s. And the forecast for Thursday, scattered rain showers with high temperatures in the mid-60s.
For National Native News, I'm Stephen Emmons in for Antonia Gonzalez. Jobs and resource development are key issues for Alaska Natives at the Republican National Convention. That's according to Alaska Delegate Jerry Ward. Ward is Athabascan and a former state senator. He's supporting nominee Donald Trump for president. He says Trump is the only candidate who favors the kind of oil and gas drilling development needed to help Alaska's residents pay the bills.
We are a development state, and if we don't develop our resources, then we're going possibly on our second generation of welfare people, and that's not good. The only thing that is bad in anybody's household is when a person is without a job. There's nothing as sorrowful and pitiful as a person that can't supply a living to their family. And it's hard for us to live off the land anymore, but the land is still there that we can have a job and supply a decent living to our family. We just need government to get it out of the way and let us do it.
Ward is prominent in Republican Alaska politics. He was caught up but never charged in a political corruption scandal that resulted in convictions for several lawmakers, businessmen, and lobbyists. The same scandal helped defeat longtime U.S. Senator Ted Stevens, although his conviction was overturned because of prosecutorial misconduct. The GOP unveiled its platform at the convention this week. The document's stance on Native American issues is largely unchanged from the party's stance in previous years. The convention is scheduled to wrap up Thursday night with a speech by Donald Trump. The federal government will pay for a new round of cleanup costs at uranium mines on the Navajo Nation. Andy Murphy reports.
The federal government will fund environmental cleanup of 16 abandoned uranium mines and evaluations of 30 more mines on the Navajo Nation. The Department of Justice announced the settlement Friday. The 16 mines were first identified as priority cleanup sites to be studied during the first phase of the settlement in 2015. The Navajo Nation Environmental Protection Agency and the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency will both oversee the work. The EPA secured a multi-billion dollar settlement against companies associated with Anadarko Petroleum in 2014 as part of a suit over uranium contamination. Almost $1 billion of that is going to clean up on the Navajo Nation. Mining in the area started during World War II to help fuel the nation's production of nuclear power plants and weapons. Mining continued until 1986. There are more than 500 abandoned mines on the 27,000 square mile reservation throughout Arizona, Utah, and New Mexico.
A group is asking New Mexico lawmakers for measures to protect ceremonial dances performed by Navajo, Apache, and Pueblo tribes. The Farmington Daily Times reports the group, Sacred Preservation, presented testimony to the state legislature's Indian Affairs Committee. The group told the committee, organizations that are not affiliated with tribes watch the ceremonial dances, then copy the dress and movements. They then charge fees for performing the dances and even travel internationally. Co-founder Sean Price told the committee there is so far no legal protection against replicating the dances. Senator William Soles called the practice cultural theft. The committee took no immediate action. South Dakota School District received a $10,000 grant for Lakota language and cultural instruction. The program at Hot Springs High School includes training for staff as well as instruction for students and even adults in the community. The Hot Springs Star reports the grant is aimed at improving cultural understanding to address racial disparities in the community. It includes forming a panel of administrators, staff, and parents to propose ways to bridge what organizers say is a lack of understanding of Lakota culture. For National Native News, I'm Stephen Emmons.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanic Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. And by the law firm of Sanosky, Chambers, Saxe, Miller & Munson, advocating Native American interests throughout the United States, with offices in New Mexico, California, Alaska, and Washington, D.C. And by Humboldt State University's online Master of Social Work program, which focuses on decolonizing work with rural and indigenous communities. Applications accepted August 1st to 31st at humboldt.edu/socialwork. Support for law and justice-related programming provided by Hobbs, Strauss, Dean & Walker, LLP, a national law firm dedicated to promoting and defending tribal rights for more than 30 years. More information available at HobbsStrauss.com. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
It's about 6 minutes past the hour, and you're tuned to KRNN and KTO News in Juneau. It's time for Juneau Afternoon. Last year, my friend Neil turned me on to the music of Christy Lene, and when I heard her guitar playing and her singing, I was just blown away. We're going to start out the show with Christy Lene's music. She's playing at the Rockwell on Sunday and playing also at the Southeast Alaska State Fair.
Thank you so much, Jeff. It's great to be here in this beautiful radio station, and my first time performing in Juneau this Sunday here at the Rockwell Ballroom at 6:30. So this song I'm going to play is going to be the next single I'm about to release, and it's called Stay. It's for anybody who is feeling like running or in a dark place, and if you feel like letting go and running away, remember that sometimes you just got to take a breath and stay right where you are. It's going to be okay. This is called Stay. So cold, your heart feels like stone, frozen, tears shattered to the bone. Light a fire to find your way back home. Take a breath, you're not in this alone. Tiptoe to the edge, looking down. Silent cry, cause you think no one is around. Stop now, it's only life to choose. You're the only one that can be you. Stand right where you are. Touch your hands to your heart. Feel love, embrace, stand right where you are. Open your mouth and taste how it feels to stay. Say, please say, you'll find your way. Battleground, you can't see through the haze. Blink your eyes and the smoke will dissipate. Hold on to love, you'll make it through. You're the only one that can be you. Stand right where you are. Touch your hands to your heart. Feel love and praise. Do you know you shine a special light? Close your eyes, take a breath, and look inside. Let the warmth of your heart ease your pain. You'll find your way. Stand right where you are. Touch your hands to your heart. And feel love embrace. Stand right where you are. Open your mouth and taste how it feels to stay.
Christy Lene, she's appearing in town this Sunday at the Rockwell and also at the Southeast Alaska State Fair. I'm not sure where you originally hail from, but now you're from Nashville.
Yes, just moved to Nashville originally from St. Pete, Florida. And I spent a lot of, about 6 years in Philadelphia and then Portland, Oregon for 2 years. So now I'm sort of right in the middle of it all.
You get a unique style. What I mean, we talked about how we're going to do this, and I'm going to do it a little bit differently. I'm going to play a little bit of your instrumental song.
Okay, great.
And then we'll get back in the studio.
Perfect. Thank you.
How would you classify that guitar playing?
It's a tapping style guitar. It's sort of like approaching the guitar like the piano. That song's called Breath of Spring. It's from my instrumental album, Chasing Infinity. And it uses a technique where you're tapping the neck of the guitar, sort of like you would play a piano, and the fingers would be the hammers hitting the strings. And so it's a tapping technique where the right hand is tapping one thing, the left hand's tapping another, and you can ultimately create some really large sounding noise or music or whatever you call it. If you just slap the guitar, you can also get some kind of rhythmic things, and then kind of tapping figures and emulating, harmonizing with the other hand. So it's really fun and kind of just a different approach to the guitar, and use it in some of my singer-songwriter stuff, and then sometimes like to write songs like the last one I sang with just very simple finger style. So it's a nice mix.
Where did that come from?
The tapping style? The tapping style came from a necessity, actually. I studied composition at the University of South Florida and had been trained in classical and jazz guitar before that. And I was writing at choral music and string quartets in college. And I've spent 2.5 years of my first album, Set It Free, with all of these big arrangements and strings and percussion and all kinds of different choir arrangements. And then I moved to Philadelphia, and I had to perform these pieces as a solo artist. And I thought, well, how am I going to try to bring all of these parts alive? So I started figuring out how to do, you know, like rhythms on my guitar and then tap the bass line while I play the melody with the other hand, and just a way to play multiple parts at the same time. And when I play live, I have a foot stomper that gives the sound of a kick drum, and then I use a tambourine on my left foot. So it's a pretty big sound with one person. I also have a vocal harmonizer so that I can get three-part harmonies live. So that's the way I've been being able to perform solo without a band and come to beautiful places like Alaska.
And playing on a cruise ship.
Yeah, the last time I was here, I was the guitarist for a cruise ship, and this is the first time I've ever been to Alaska where I'm playing a gig in town. So that'll be Sunday at Rockwell. I just went in there last night. It's a beautiful venue. There's a local opener, and there were going to be two. So, but yeah, that's at 6:30 this Sunday. And I stepped in there last night. It's a beautiful space, and this is my first time playing on the land in Alaska. So it'll be fun.
What's your dream venue?
Oh, my dream venue. Well, for theater, I would say Carnegie Hall. For an outdoor venue, probably the Gorge in Washington or Red Rocks. And those would be band venues, you know, where I'd have, you know, drums, bass, guitar, keys, saxophone, and do the whole big epic thing.
Where do the songs come from?
The songs come from a deep place of heart and emotion. Really, a place of overcoming. I've been through a lot in my life and have written a lot of songs about inspirational things, you know, how to come out of it when you're going through a rough time. And I have like a song called Daylight Comes, where it's knowing that every day when you wake up, you have the opportunity to create something new. And another favorite song is called We Are One, and which is also on my website, ChristyLinet.com. And that's a song about unity and people coming together. So I like to write hopeful, conscious songs and never lose sight of first being a guitarist. So I always love to write instrumental music as well. And that's why I did an instrumental album as like a bonus to all my singer-songwriter stuff. And then people can listen to whichever one they want or both.
Tell me about your guitar.
This guitar is actually a Martin J40. It is a beautiful instrument. I have part of the artist program with Martin, and when I went there to get this guitar, it was my first Martin, and now I have three, including a D12 35 50th anniversary 12 string, and I also have a Martin D18 Golden Era, and those are my Martin collection. But this one is a really special instrument. I always call it my desert island guitar, and it's the one I brought with me here to Alaska. It's just a beautiful instrument. It has a fat body, so it gets a thick sound. I have a great pickup in it, so whenever I do, you know, rhythmic things on the guitar, it'll pick it up really well in a sound system, and it just sound enormous. So first time I picked up this guitar, I said that it sounds like an orchestra, and it really does when it's really played. So,
when are people going to be here on Sunday night?
When
are people going to be here on Sunday night?
Sunday night at Rockwell, people will hear a variety of instrumental and vocal music, conscious uplifting songs, to hopefully bring a smile to people's faces, and a lot of what some might call a gymnastic type of guitar playing from time to time, but where it's quite interesting to watch visually, because when you listen to it, it sounds like multiple instruments, but all of the stuff on the instrumental album is coming from one instrument, except with the exception of the songs that have a little drums in the background. So it's a really unique thing to watch. I love watching people do the tapping guitar style, because it's almost like it plays tricks on your eyes, because you'll have two hands on the neck at one time and then one hand doing a rhythm while the left hand's doing something else, and it's just kind of fun to watch. So definitely some interesting visual elements to the show.
What are some of your inspirations?
I really love Michael Hedges, who is kind of the innovator of the tapping style of guitar, and he's just a genius who left this planet way too soon, but what he brought was something pretty extraordinary in his innovation and his approach to the instrument. I love Dave Matthews and the Indigo Girls, who actually I'm getting to play on the main stage before the Indigo Girls at Salmon Fest on the first weekend of August. So We'll be doing that after next weekend at the Southeast Alaska State Fair. But the Indigo Girls are a huge influence of mine. I love their harmonies. And those are probably some of the top three, but there's a lot. Of course, Beethoven is probably one of my favorite composers of all time. So,
where are you going to after Alaska?
After Alaska, I'll go home to Nashville for literally one day, and then I'm jumping in the van and driving to Philadelphia to start an East Coast tour, which will take place all throughout August. So.
Christine Lunay, thank you so much for coming in today. You'll be performing this Sunday at 6:30 at Rockwell and also at Southeast Alaska State Fair if you're lucky enough to get up there this time of year. Christine, thanks a lot for coming.
Absolutely. And if people like what they hear, they can check out my website, ChristyLunay.com. It's ChristyLunee. And I hope to see you Sunday at Rockwell.
Christine Lunay. She'll be performing 6:30 at Rockwell and also at the Southeast Alaska State Fair. In the studio with me now, we have Amy Skilbred from the Juneau Community Foundation and Marianne Mills from Southeast Senior Services here to highlight funding services for seniors. And I know it's a lot more than that, Amy. Can you first describe the Juneau Foundation?
Sure. Well, the Juneau Community Foundation this year we're taking over and using funds also from the Juneau Hope Endowment Fund and the CBJ Social Service Funds, that working with the community, we looked at priorities for where those funds should be given out in grants. And one of the areas that we focused on was senior services. The Southeast Senior Services has had support from CBJ for several years, and that continued. And then we added additional funding to provide for the Junior Senior Nutrition Program, also known as Meals on Wheels. So, yeah.
And you want to talk a little bit about Southeast Senior Services?
Sure. Well, one of the grants that we applied for and received funding through the Juneau Community Foundation is called Senior Wraparound Services. And a friend of mine the other day asked, what is this, Senior Wraparound Services? Well, it's actually geared toward identifying Juneau's most frail, isolated, and vulnerable senior citizens, so that once we hear about them from a citizen who finds them, identifies them, and calls us, we reach out to them. We offer home visiting, counseling, and case management in an attempt to help connect them with services so they can continue to remain in their own home safely and with good quality of life. So one thing I'd like to highlight today is for local businesses that run into seniors in the course of your work, whether it's a bank or a newspaper carrier or a postal worker, wherever you might run into senior citizens on a regular basis, we offer trainings for staff to identify the signs and symptoms of a senior that might need some attention from us, that might be at risk of losing their independence or their safety. So I encourage any businesses that have staff meetings or an opportunity for us to give a presentation to call us at 463-6177 and indicate you'd be interested in a gatekeeper presentation.
Tell me more about the gatekeeper presentation.
Okay. Well, gatekeepers in this sense are people, just regular citizens, that might notice that a senior has been declining. Say a lady usually looks neat and tidy and her bank account is always balanced to the penny, and then over time they notice she looks a little disheveled or maybe she's starting to bounce checks. And at that point, they might want to call our phone number so that we can reach out to the lady and say, hi, we're just, you know, calling to say hi. And actually the gatekeepers, the citizen who makes the call, can call anonymously if they're concerned about being identified of who told us about the senior. So we just reach out in a non-threatening way and let them know what services we have available. Would you like a visit? And a lot of seniors are extremely lonely, and I'd say most of them are pretty open to a visit from our office.
Is the number of seniors increasing or decreasing?
Oh, well, Juneau is one of the fastest growing senior populations in the United States, because I think primarily because we have such a large percentage of baby boomers that are turning 60, 65, and so forth. So it's a growing population. And so this particular program, the Senior Wraparound, is geared toward seniors that don't have family and friends and supports, and trying to identify those kind of hidden, isolated seniors. We also offer services for seniors with families, and we have family caregiver support services. One of our services that also receives a grant through the Juneau Community Foundation is the Bridge Adult Day Program, which benefits not only the senior, but also the family member that they oftentimes live with, whether it's their adult daughter or son or their spouse. The Bridge Program is Juneau's only adult day program, and it's for older adults coping with Alzheimer's disease, recovering from strokes, or dealing with other debilitating illnesses, who can benefit from a safe, structured environment during the day of therapeutic activities that provide physical, emotional, cognitive, and social stimulation. And at the same time, their family member, if they have to go to work during the day, they're glad that mom's just not sitting at home alone. We have a lot of fun at the Bridge Program. And so it benefits not only the senior, but also the family member.
I know a lot of family members can take care of their seniors in the family. Is the number of seniors who don't have that fellowship available to them increasing or decreasing?
I'd say it's increasing, both seniors with and without families. It's just such a growing population. So we encourage, if folks are interested in learning more about the Bridge Adult Day Program, the Bridge Program number is 463-6171, and people can stop by with or without their loved one and just stop by for a visit and see what it's like. It's a very home environment, and there's a lot of fun that they have there.
One of the great things about these programs, and one of the reasons why the City and Borough of Juneau and the Community Foundation have been continuing funding with it, is they allow people to stay in their homes longer. With the Meals on Wheels or the nutrition program that brings food to seniors The Gatekeeper program helps to identify seniors who might be in need of help before it becomes a desperate situation. And then the Bridge Adult Day program allows or encourages adults with certain needs to be able to spend a day with others in a more in a surrounding with more people so that they can have more interaction with other people and not be quite so isolated. So they're great programs and really help to keep seniors in their homes, which is pretty important in Juneau.
How did you identify Southeast Senior Services as a recipient for your funds?
Southeast Senior Services is part of Catholic Community Services, and they've received funds for several years through CBJ's Social Service Block Grants, is what they were called before. And that was set up when the CBJ, I think it was in 2000, did away with the Social Services Division or Department. And they established funds to be used to support services in town through nonprofits, and Southeast Senior Services was the one in town who was providing the services that seniors might need. So we continued that, and that was through discussions with a broad variety of community social service providers in Juneau, and really listening to what they had to say and what was needed and where the gaps are. And then we have real funding changes going on, both with reduced funding from the federal government, reduced funding from the state, and looking at what are the needs that we can use these funds to address in Juneau. So.
Well, this is the first time we've applied to City and Borough of Juneau for the Juneau Meal Program, the Meals on Wheels program, because we were having some financial challenges this past year. Last year, the Juneau Senior Center provided over 26,000 meals to senior citizens throughout Juneau. Both seniors who come to the Juneau Senior Center or the Douglas Methodist Church for lunches, or seniors who receive home-delivered meals, seniors that are homebound and not able to come to the Juneau Senior Center or the Douglas site for lunch. So this is a big growing population, people that benefit from the hot, nutritious meals, that benefit from the socialization at the senior center and the activities there. And for the homebound people, we have delivery volunteers that are oftentimes the only person that homebound senior sees during the day. And so just that human contact and that nutritious meal makes a big difference in terms of their safety, health, and independent living.
It's an awesome amount in the thousands of meals. Thank you for doing that.
You're welcome.
Yeah, so on that, if people out there who are listening think of, you know, what can I give to, how can I help out, the senior nutrition program, which includes Meals on Wheels, is one that providing some funds to Catholic Community Services for senior services would be, Southeast Senior Services would be really beneficial. It's an important program. You know, making sure people are fed is one of the primary. If you're not fed, a lot of things decline pretty rapidly. So.
Yeah, thanks, Amy. Yes, if people wanted to donate specifically to Juneau Meals on Wheels program, they could do that, or to the Bridge Adult Day program, or to the senior wraparound services, whatever. Yeah, you can specify a particular program if you'd like.
Is there a mailing address that people can write to?
They could write to in care of Southeast Senior Services, 4196 Street, Juneau, Alaska, 99801.
What are the things that seniors are going to be looking forward to or not looking forward to as far as the advancing years are coming?
Well,
medical problems.
Medical problems. Well, of course, the declining memory and that sort of thing happens. And then the one thing I've been talking about lately is the risk of falls. It's probably the biggest risk. And so I've been promoting the Tai Chi classes that we have, which are great to improve balance and strength and so forth in that regard and prevent falls. Lack of transportation. If somebody's not able to drive anymore, that's a real difficult thing that happens for many seniors when they get older. And so I encourage them to take advantage of the caravan service. One thing people don't know is that Catholic Community Service, Southeast Senior Services, operates the caravan service. And if you've never ridden it, you can take a friend or family member along with you. Until you feel comfortable going by yourself, you can take somebody with you. And I think a lot of people don't realize that.
I've been talking to Marianne Mills and Amy Skilbert about the Juno Community Foundation's funding of various senior services. Anything you'd like to add, Amanda, if you're going to ask?
No, just thank you for giving us the time to put senior services on the radio and have people hear more about what Catholic Community Services and Southeast Senior Services are providing here in Juneau.
If people need more information about the Juneau Community Foundation.
Sure, they can contact me at 523-5450 or send me an email at amy@junocf.org.
All right, thank you for coming by.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Wednesday. It's the 20th of July, 2016. It was on this date, 1969, Buzz Aldrin and Neil Armstrong set foot on the moon. Neil Armstrong was the first because he was closest to the door of the lunar module, which had landed there in the Sea of Tranquility. They looked out. They saw the Earth, tiny blue orb in the sky. Neil Armstrong died 4 years ago. Buzz Aldrin is 86, lives in Montclair, New Jersey. It was on this day in 1869, Mark Twain published his second book, Innocence Abroad. It was his best-selling book during his lifetime, his travel book. He had persuaded a San Francisco newspaper to send him to Europe and to the Holy Land. It's the birthday of Cormac McCarthy, author of Blood Meridian and No Country for Old Men, born in Rhode Island, 1933, raised in Knoxville, Tennessee, where his father was a lawyer for the Tennessee Valley Authority. He went to college. He joined the Air Force. He fell in love with the writing of William Faulkner and Herman Melville, started writing stories in homage to theirs. His first novel, The Orchard Keeper, was bought by Faulkner's longtime editor, Albert Erskine, at Random House. McCarthy sailed to Ireland, met a dancer on the ocean liner, married her in England. Eventually they divorced. He wound up broke in El Paso, living in a motel, wandered around, kept writing, stopped drinking, won a MacArthur grant, which he lived on, while he wrote Blood Meridian, a western set in Texas in the 1840s, and 7 years later, his first bestseller, All the Pretty Horses. Cormac McCarthy wrote for years on an Olivetti typewriter, which he purchased in a pawn shop in Knoxville for $50, and which was sold at auction in 2009 for almost $250,000, the proceeds going to the Santa Fe Institute, where he is a writer in residence. And it's the birthday of the poet Francesco Petrarca, better known as Petrarch, born 1304 in Arezzo in Tuscany, who wrote 316 sonnets about his unrequited love of a woman known as Laura, who died in the plague year 1348, and Petrarch wrote, "She ruled in beauty o'er this heart of mine, a noble lady in a humble home, and now her time for heavenly bliss has come. 'Tis I, immortal proved, and she divine." Here's a poem for today by Sally Fisher, entitled Here in the Psalm. I am a sheep, and I like it, because the grass I lie down in feels good, and the still waters are restful, and right there if I'm thirsty. And though some valleys are very chilly, there is a long rod that prods me, so I direct my hooves the right way, though today I'm trying hard to sit at a table, because it's expected, required, really, and my enemies, it turns out I have enemies, are watching me eat and spill my drink, but I don't worry, because all my enemies do is watch, and I know I'm safe if I will just do my best as I sit on this chair that wobbles a bit in the grass on the side of a hill. A poem by Sally Fisher here in the Psalm from her collection Good Question, published by Bright Hill Press and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac. Supported by the Poetry Foundation, publisher of Poetry Magazine, now available on iOS devices, subscriptions available at poetrymagazine.org. And by Lumosity, brain training developed by scientists and game designers who turn cognitive research tasks into challenging games. Learn more at lumosity.com. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
It's like 40 minutes past the hour, and you are tuned into Juno Afternoon. Our next guest in the studio is Kristen Price, here to talk about the Gospel Workshop and performances coming up in the near future. Kristen, thank you for being in the station today again.
Thanks for having me.
You want to start out from the beginning for people who weren't listening last week? About the...
Sure. So we're having a gospel choir concert coming up on Saturday, and there is still time to sign up to sing. It's for all ages, all abilities. You don't have to read music. If kids want to participate, you need to have an adult from middle school and younger. We're going to sing five simple tunes and in the sort of the broad gospel category, a little variety of styles. The practices for that are this Friday from 5 to 7, and then again on Saturday from 4:30 to 6:30, and then we're going to do a concert at 7. The music is easy, so it's easy enough to learn in two practices.
What's the fee?
It's free. It's all free.
That's happening at Chapel by the Lake?
Happening at Chapel by the Lake. We're going to feed you dinner if you sing on Friday, and then.
Tell me about the facilitator.
Yeah, so we have this amazing guest conductor, Dr. Steven Newby. He's the director of worship, the director of the Center for Worship at Seattle Pacific University, and he's just an exuberant, dynamic guy. He's super talented. He's a composer. He's a jazz pianist and a vocalist with a deep baritone voice, and he is a choir director. So he's going to coach us through this music, and it's going to be super fun and fantastic.
How should people prepare?
You don't really have to do much to prepare. I mean, just come with a happy heart and a desire to get to know the people you're singing with. And really, it's about community building and having fun and singing together.
And so that's starting this Friday.
Yep, starts Friday at 5 p.m. You can come out to Chapel by the Lake, and we'll start singing. And then Saturday at 4:30. And then the concert is at 7 on Saturday at Chapel by the Lake, and it's also free. And, you know, because we're only learning five songs, so you can only learn so much music in 2 days, we're also going to have a little ensemble from our chapel musicians that's going to play and kind of warm up the set. And that is going to be Josh Lockhart and Ruth Hogel. Cellist Ruth Hogel, she was a member of the, I think they called him the Mendenhall Quartet, the MAT students that were here this year. And she is just, her cello playing is just exquisite, and she's going to be playing with Josh Lockhart. He's a local artist.
All right, Kristen Price, you've done great today. Anything you'd like to add I might have forgotten to ask?
Just I hope that you come out to the concert at 7 on Saturday at Chapel by the Lake. It's worth carving out the time for. I know that people are busy in the summer, but this will be worth carving out the time for.
If people need more information or like to sign up, how do they do that?
Yeah, if you want to sing, you can give me a call at 957-0099, or you can shoot me an email at kprice@chapelbythelake.org. There is some information on the chapel website, the www.chapelbythelake.org/com, I'm not sure.
A lot of dots in there.
Yeah. So there is still time to register for the choir if you want to.
All right, thank you for coming by.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
This is Bird Note. Let's talk about nests. Every spring, robins build their cup-shaped nests using grass and mud. Orioles weave a hanging sack. It takes a week or two. It's hard work, and yet, once the chicks fledge, mostly the structures won't be reused. Cliff swallows, on the other hand, will often reuse nests. They'll spend a week plastering their mud structure on a sheer cliff face, use it, and the next year, unless parasites have moved in before them, fix it up and they're good to go. Bigger birds, herons, hawks, or eagles, often reuse a nest for many years. One bald eagle pair in Vermilion, Ohio, reused the same nest for 34 years, adding branches each year until it weighed more than 2 tons. But Europe's migratory white storks get the award for best reuse. One nest site, still used in 1930, and likely seeing many repairs over the years, dated back to 1549. That's a continuous series of stork pairs nesting in one spot for 381 years. For Bird Note, I'm Michael Stein.
Juno Douglas Little Theater is hosting a fundraiser on July 22nd to raise money for the victims and families of the Orlando shooting last month. To promote love, the fundraiser will be a Shakespeare celebration. Come read a monologue, sonnet, or scene from your favorite of Shakespeare's works and help spread the love. All the proceeds will go to an Orlando charity. Join us July 22nd at 6 p.m. at 360 in the K2 building. For more information, find us on Facebook or visit us at jdlittletheater.org, the site of lovers feedeth those in love.
It's 46 minutes past the hour, and you are tuned into a Juno afternoon here on Listener Supported Public Media. Our next guests in the studio are Megan Chambers and M.K. McNaughton here to talk about tote bags.
Thank you.
Did you bring a tote bag with you?
We did.
Tell me about this tote bag program, please.
Well, it is a gorgeous plastic tote bag that can fit all of your shopping needs. M.K. McNaughton, who's here with me now, was the winner of a contest that we advertised in March of this year. And her oil painting, Fall Whispers Goodbye, which is a beautiful landscape of the glacier in Juneau, is on both large sides of the tote bag.
How many entrants did you have?
We had, I've got to think all the way back to March, probably 10, between 10 and 15 different entrants.
Just something that's going to continue next year, too?
Yeah, it'll be annual. And so Foodland approached us early in the spring and said they wanted to put local art on a tote bag and to have it be a continuing contest every year. And the designs would be collectible sorts, kind of like how everyone loves getting the Folkfest t-shirts or something like that. So we will re-advertise again in the spring, unless we sell out of all of the tote bags in Juneau, in which case we will advertise sooner.
How many tote bags did you get printed up?
Foodland printed 10,000. So there's definitely enough for you to have multiple tote bags in your family.
M.K., tell me about the tote bags. Did you have the idea for the tote bag before you started painting, or was this a painting that existed already?
It was a painting that existed already, and they had indicated they were looking for some sort of iconic Juno images, the glacier fireweed, and I thought, well, I just happen to have a glacier with fireweed painting, so that was lucky for me.
Could you just please describe it a little bit more concisely?
Sure. Well, the original painting is a 3-foot by 3-foot painting, oil painting of the glacier. And I know that for this first year, the call for art requested a Juno image featuring the glacier in particular. So that's why I submitted this one.
Well, I can't see. Could you hold it up to the microphone, please?
Yeah, it's a gorgeous image. It's got lots of colors in typical MK fashion, which is what I think people are so drawn to a lot of the time.
I was happy with this original painting because I was working on trying to make some abstractions, some big hunks of color, and it's a little bit hard to see that on the bag, but You know, in the winter and in the fall when it's so gray here, I think one of the ways I survive is by looking for the color in the landscape. And maybe I slightly overemphasize the color. Maybe my paintings are a little bit brighter than Juno. But when you look, it is bright out there. And that's something I love about art, that it helps me see the world in a more pleasant way. So,
what's on the other side of the bag?
So both of the large faces of the bag are MK's painting. And then on the smaller side panels are Super Bear and Foodland logos, and then Project Three Square, which is one of the beneficiaries of these tote bag sales. And Project Three Square benefits children who are on reduced lunch meal plans at school and feeds those children when they're on break, so winter break or summer break.
And how can people get these bags?
They are available at Foodland IGA and Super Bear IGA, and they are... Or am I allowed to say prices on there?
Sure, just okay. Just whisper it.
Okay. They are $4.99 for a single bag and $3.99 for two or more.
Have you seen any bags already?
Oh, well, I have. Megan brought one by my studio, and I'm very proud.
MK got the very first one that came out of the package.
Yeah, it was very fun.
And they should be circulating around town now or soon. And so every purchase supports MK as an artist, it supports the Jack, and it supports Project Three Square. So
I love that. Actually, none of the money goes to IGA. It all goes to the community.
Yeah, it's a wonderful community project. And Foodland had the initial thought for this project, and then they approached us and said, how can we do this? And so we hosted the call for art, and MK provided the art.
I was in the JMK waiting behind the vegetables, waiting for someone to walk by with their, that's mine.
I might do that, but I might not announce it. I'll be proud to see them, though. I appreciate anyone who buys them. But it's, you know, as an artist, you make work and you want people to like it and look at it. And if somebody chooses to buy something, it means they do. So
yeah,
it's nice.
Exactly.
You have to kind of put yourself out there as an artist all the time. And I guess 10,000 bags makes it easy for me to put myself out there.
Yeah, that's
so
not
thank
too
you,
bad.
IGA.
Yeah. The details again, were they available, how much they cost?
They are $4.99 for a single bag and $3.99 if you get two or more, and they are for purchase at Downtown Foodland or out in the valley at Super Bear.
All right, thank you for coming by. Anything you'd like to add, I might have forgotten to ask?
No. If people want to learn more about my studio, they're welcome to check out mkmcnaughton.com.
And then for all those artists out there, start thinking about what you might want to put on a bag next year. Look for that call for art.
All right, thanks for coming by.
Thank you, Jeff.
Losing my mind. Outside in the night, outside. Do you or someone you care for live with chronic pain or a chronic disease like high blood pressure, diabetes, or heart disease? You can learn to manage the symptoms, understand the disease, and communicate more easily with providers. Find a list of Living Well classes offered around the state at livingwell.alaska.gov. This message sponsored by the Alaska Department of Health and Social Services and the American Diabetes Association, aired by the Alaska Broadcasters Association and this station.
It's about 3 minutes before the hour, and you are tuned into the Juno Afternoon. Coming up next, a little bit of music from Martin Sexton. He's performing at the Southeast Alaska State Fair at the end of this month here up in Haines.
Like shaving your face, taking out the trash and knowing your place, spending all your cash on your baby, and do it daily, like walking the dog, cleaning up the mess, before you go off to work, can make a good guess, have what your woman wants, and do it daily, if you're gonna do it at all, you gotta do it daily, do it every day, in the very best way, if you're gonna do it at all, you gotta do it daily. Once, two, twice, take a little advice and do it every day.
Every day.
Like that little mistake that you always make. Look it straight in the eyes and apologize. And never do it again and do it daily. And when you do it again, say you're sorry and then try to do it right. Screw it up every night and apologize again and do it daily. If you're gonna do it at all, you gotta do it daily.
Do it
every day, in the very best way.
If
you do it at all, do it once or twice, take little advice and do it every day. Muffins and sages and good friends and wise men say, oh, good things happen, oh, good things happen if you do it every day. And that's what all the good friends and the wise men and the mothers and the sages and the brothers and sisters say.
If you do it all, do it daily.
That you always make. Look it straight in the eyes and apologize. And never do it again and do it daily. If you're gonna do it at all, you gotta do it daily. Do it every day in the very best way. Do it at all, you gotta do it daily. Do it once, do it twice, take a little advice and do it every day. Muffins and sages and good friends and wise men say, good things will happen if you do. Mothers and sages and wise men say, good things will happen if you do, 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 every day.
Every day.
This is KTOO Juno. We broadcast at 104.3 FM in downtown Juno and Douglas. We also rebroadcast on translators K276AF in the Mendenhall.